Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I am an absolute fiend for human emotion, for this game was won by XYZ of not this specific tactic, even though specifically there were many tactics used this weekend in the Premier League, was used to motivate some of those tactics. And so today on both my channels, on the LFC channel and on the main channel, I've been talking about being humble, basically. And I guess at the top of this, I wanted to just talk a little bit before we get into both videos. First of all, the Liverpool one, and then secondly, the Arsenal one. Maybe I'll do it the other way around, actually. How humble am I? I just want to talk a bit about humility. And there are a couple of things that as I was editing the videos or watching them back, I ended up thinking about that I'd be maybe interested to get your take on either in the Discord, which there's a link in the podcast description, or just, you know, find a place to get through to me if you want to. Sorry, I haven't been around on this feed by the way, for a little while. I'm wondering if we want to put up the YouTube videos on this feed as audio. Let me know if you'd be interested in that. If that's something you'd be interested in. I always just assume that you can listen to the YouTube feed, but let me know. Maybe you'd be interested if it came through on Spotify or it came through somewhere else, or even as a bonus feed somewhere else, or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, the interesting aspect that I found about this was, first of all, I think I want to talk Liverpool. Slot is an incredibly humble manager in himself. He's obviously very aware of the fact that he's taken a step up to one of the bigger, more limelight, drenched clubs in Europe at the moment. And I think he wants to put his best foot forward, first of all. But I also think he's a great political player. He's someone who's very good at managing expectation and shifting narratives away from being self-indulgent or slightly arrogant, more towards the humble side of things. I think over time we'll get to know him better. We'll probably see more of the fallacies of any human being, but, you know, hopefully not, obviously, but, you know, we'll see more of that. One thing I was really interested in, though, is like the inherent humility of where Liverpool have been at over the last few years, not being able to win the title consistently, not necessarily building the dynasty that I think we thought, a dynasty that we thought might have been there. But also, sometimes humility doesn't come when you have a lack of recognition of what you've really achieved, what you really feel that you've been in that time. And it can turn, it can very often sour and become something else, which is a little bit less admirable, as you know, it's very desirable, obviously, to be humble, to be successful, and then to have the perspective on that is obviously in most cultures very desirable. And to win at doing that in the Premier League, I think, is a very big part of it. So the humble stakes, who is your most humble team in the league? Is it even one of the top four? Can you be in the top four? Can you win the Premier League and even be humble? I'd be interested to know your thoughts. But then also, I guess, speaking from a specifically Liverpool perspective, and Arsenal, I guess, to an extent, is it possible to be humble when you're busy trying to reflect during the middle of the process? Is the process in itself not humbling if you really understand where you're at in the process, knowing that you're not the complete team, knowing that you have fallacies, knowing as a player the briefing that you get on a daily basis, what a lot of that, you know, knowing what your, what the, you know, the coaching and the ideas that you get inherently are, well, you can improve here within the sport, you can do better. Obviously that in itself, I think, is wrapped up in the idea of humility and improvement and all those kind of things. But I think we're seeing that specifically through this lens at this time and where society is at. The idea of sitting down, being humble, the song that we've heard so much on our Instagram feeds and, you know, to all of the edits this weekend. Well, how did Kendrick mean that? That's a whole other aspect, I guess. That might actually be a Patreon video. Anyway, I'm interested to know where you guys sit on this whole humble thing, because a lot of people accuse Lewis Skelly of not being humble by stealing or, you know, mimicking or whatever you want to call it, undermining Haaland's own celebration. And I found that quite interesting in itself. I loved this element of it. It showed a bit of the mentality of the team, the sting in the tail, the want to get back at someone who's seemingly wronged you, even if it is a very trivial wronging. What is it that motivates a young player or senior players to hide that and then let it come out when you are successful? You know, can you be humble if you are not good? Can you be humble if you're losing? I suppose you can lose with humility, but is that as evident? Naturally, you will be, I suppose, if you, most people will talk about the absence of humility if you're losing badly, but they'll very rarely speak about the presence of humility when you are losing, because you are inherently going through the process of being humbled. But what if you're already humbled? Does that help in the process of losing? And does it come as more or less of a surprise? I guess I'm speaking about inherently the human condition here. So it's not like in itself, I'm not being humble. I'm being actually quite, what's the phrase? Like, I guess not arrogant, but sometimes my words get away from me at the moment. Inherently, I'm humbled by my own brain. Anyway, it's been a long day. I hope you guys enjoy these monologues. Obviously, they're monologues. And I hope that you enjoy the podcast feed. This is an exclusive piece of audio just for the podcast listeners. If you haven't already hit subscribe, please feel free to do that and tell your friends about the podcast feed. I'd love to get more people involved in it. If you're new to this, thank you very much for listening. And if you're not, thanks for sticking around. From the top of a tower, somewhere in East London, this is the Lozcast. Everyone's had their say about Arsenal, the tactics, the way they undermine the opposition. I think all of those things are really important in the Arsenal story, their revival this season, or their continuation of a marathon as it feels. A season is not over yet. Liverpool still very much within touching distance of Arsenal, especially as it is only a game in hand and a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Which is what basically means points on the board are better than points you potentially get. And there are still a big sting in the tail of a lot of this season. And that's why there was such an outpouring of emotion. Why there was, when everyone's busy undermining Arsenal and saying, oh, you know, they're already celebrating as if they won the title. There's that meme of them like shaking champagne in the mouth, sitting in second place. As a Liverpool fan, believe me, I understand the idea of finishing second as someone and still wanting to celebrate your team. So Arsenal fans, I'm on the same page with you here. But one thing I think wasn't really covered for me on the weekend, the secret sauce that I feel was in that, almost, it wasn't spiteful, but it was, there was a sting in the tail for a lot of that Arsenal game, was that they had some demons to banish against City. They had a score to settle, an anger towards that team. The need to dominate them, the need to show we are not only worthy of the title here, but we're worthy of respect that you haven't shown us earlier in this season. And that is incredibly important to this Arsenal team. Recognition of where they have been, where they're going and where they are is important to this team. And I think Arteta has shown that. Other players have shown that. And to an extent, one of the youngest players on the team, who himself has that kind of youthful exuberance and swagger and to an extent arrogance which comes with it in being able to celebrate in the way that Haaland did is important. Inherently, there isn't it arrogance to modern footballers. Those are people who are being paid a lot of money in an incredible position in society. That is not
necessarily something to be sniped at. Like, these people have worked very hard to get to these positions, and they didn't necessarily know that these rewards were at the end. They could have snapped their leg at any moment. There could have been something terrible happen. I'm sure they've had lots of awful things happen. I'm sure you've had some of those experiences yourself and experienced your own issues. But this Arsenal side don't feel like they're getting the recognition that they deserve, and I think they're getting a little bit sick of that. I've spoken about this on this channel very recently, that all this work through all these years and what seems to undermine a lot of their season, what they feel as a fan base is incompetence of something which is an outside force that they can't necessarily influence, but also that those things seem to have taken away points that they feel that they deserved along the way, or points that they feel were within their grasp and taken away unfairly. Those kind of things can undermine confidence in a side, and it's why Arsenal are doubling down on Arteta and doubling down on some of these players as well. It's also why I think in this period, people have failed to acknowledge that actually the reason Nwaneri is playing well, the reason that people like Miles Lewis-Skelly look so fantastic, is because of the coaching and because of the system that Arsenal have in place there. The reason that they are so empowered by this system, the reason they are so empowered by the football that they're playing, is because those two positions are very important within the side, and they require, but also allow, an element of creativity and a latitude that they can play within, which allows them to be young, which allows them to have some footloose elements to their game and take some of those risks. And those risks paid off against City on the weekend, because City played way too conservatively, because their own transition between transfer eras and between building one dynasty into the next has stuttered, has stumbled, has not been as strong as I think Pep would have wanted it. And the time to impose yourself, the time to remind people, hey, like, City might have imposed themselves in previous years, but that was when we felt that we had weaknesses that other people weren't acknowledging. We don't care if you now have that same weakness, or we don't care if you have other weaknesses, or part of your squad are weak in the way that we were weak in previous seasons. We're here to do what you did to us, and we're here to inflict some of those things. And boy, is that a satisfying thing to do in football. I would also say that I very often understand why Arsenal fans, maybe similarly to Liverpool fans, can be alienated to some extent. Arsenal fans are very different. I don't know, but they are very different to other London fans. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean they do stand out in terms of their approach. They're certainly very different politically to Chelsea fans. They're certainly very different politically to Spurs fans. They're certainly very different politically to West Ham fans. There is a liberalism, I would describe, to the club that maybe I don't think is there in other places. And that has built great cultures. That has certainly enabled people like Arsene Wenger, and certainly enables certain elements of that team to thrive and to connect with the fans directly. There is a humility which is inherent to that, which I think is also very important and very rarely gets acknowledged, because a lot of the journalists that cover it are native to London and therefore struggle to see some of these elements, or struggle to kind of acknowledge them because they feel inherent to them and they don't necessarily tell that story, because that story isn't something which it seems obvious to them and not necessarily obvious to the rest of the world, in the same way as it seems inherently obvious to them that Scousers are a certain way and Chelsea fans are a certain way and all that Manchester fans are a certain way. But it also felt good because for a very long time, Arsenal were kind of little brothered by City. And the youthful exuberance of what Haaland did against Arteta, it rankled. It was frustrating to watch your own manager be told a disrespectful, in itself humbling, statement by someone who maybe hadn't earned the mantle to be able to do that. And whether he's taken it back since, whether he's discussed it since, whether it's even been publicly acknowledged since that he shouldn't say it, is almost irrelevant. In the same way as Michael Jordan, like, you know, very often took a minor slight as a major issue, we saw the same for this Arsenal team. We saw the same for the youth within the side who've used that to motivate themselves. But Haaland also gave this Arsenal team something to motivate themselves with when he took Arteta down one peg. They didn't feel he deserved to be taken down that peg. It was still very early in the season, you know, pride before a fall, number one. Burden Handsworth turned the bush, number two, and you didn't necessarily know where all the dice were going to fall, where the chips may fall, you know, chips fall as they may. And it was a weird time. It felt like City did feel a little bit vulnerable. I think that it came from a place of vulnerability to an extent. Haaland and those guys knew that there was someone punching up and that those people were gaining confidence. But what they wanted to do was back that confidence back down. And I think Arsenal spent a lot of their time battling against people who are trying to dampen their confidence, undermine elements of their culture, and undermine elements of where Arteta is strong, in order to further their own gain. Like, you know, for Liverpool fans to feel better about where they're at, for City fans to feel better about where they're at, for everyone to mock Arsenal, try to take them, like, almost needle and take them back to that banter era. There were times where some of those tendencies began to come out earlier in the season. There was times where some of those uglier elements of the way that the Arsenal fan base speak to each other, not just on AFTV, but wider than that, began to come out. And so the catharsis of the release and the catharsis in that moment felt so huge to me when I was watching. I was like, oh, that's significant. But I think, like, we got lost in the tactics of it. Like, it's almost too easy to analyze the tactics of it on YouTube. I'm not very good at that, first of all. So, I mean, you know, I feel like I can do it, but it's not something I particularly enjoy, so I don't feel I put as much effort into it. But you could see it meant something to these guys. Gary Neville, I felt, had mischaracterized elements of this Arsenal performance and elements of this side when he said, oh, I don't think Kai Havertz has got a lot of confidence right now. And I was kind of like, I don't really know what he means by that. Like, Kai is an excellent false nine for this side. He said he's always looking for a pass and he's a striker. It's like, well, yeah, he's a false nine. He's an enabling companion for any of these people up front. And even in the goal that they scored, they tried to undermine them. There are storylines here which aren't quite making sense, because I don't feel this Arsenal team are particularly known at this point. And I also think a lot of people didn't expect them to get here. Finally, I think a lot of people expected that when Saka wasn't in the side, or when that back line was out, or when Partey was undermined publicly, or, you know, when they didn't get the target that they wanted, when Zubimendi was signed in January, all of this, they felt these were undermining elements of this Arsenal side. That's important. Because, and I still think this is a really important part of the season for them. Even if they are second right now, that doesn't mean they might not end up in first. And I say that as a Liverpool fan, obviously. I'm saying this from a perspective of wanting to understand the danger of Arsenal. I think Arsenal are an incredibly dangerous side. They still have leveling games against, you know, teams such as Liverpool, other sides in the league. They have a slightly easier run, in inverted commas, than Liverpool currently do, because Liverpool have the back end of the season against some very strong sides. And I think the assumption is that because of Liverpool's consistency in the way that they've performed, Arsenal therefore don't have that same consistency. But I actually think I've seen a consistency of character, which possibly trumps a consistency of tactic, because of the way that Arteta coaches and because of the way that he tweaks his system and then teaches it to the players. It seems like it goes slowly, 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 twist, and it like pops into place rather than slowly falling into place. Of course, you could phrase it the other way, and I'm sure you've got a different portrayal. I'd love now you think tactics get worked out within this side. I think it's really interesting. But the humility element, the motivation element, was something I was really fascinated to see. And it was that sting in the tail of the way that Miles Lewis-Skelly celebrated, the way that Arsenal almost rubbed City's nose in it, which felt very satisfying to watch from the outside because of my own sporting hatred or anger towards City rather than real life annoyance. And so, I just love to know how Arsenal fans feel about that. Let me know in the comments below what it is that you're thinking, how you are feeling after that win and what it really means. I think a lot of people have tried to dampen that down a little bit. I would say it's not a massive achievement to beat this City side in the current form that they're in, 5-1. I think they were always there for the taking. But that's not the point. To say that beating City is not the achievement is to miss the point of beating City in this way for this Arsenal team. And I think Arsenal show these, like, grey area, these unknowable parts of football, which aren't about stats and about tactics, all those things, are incredibly important. Arteta knows that. It comes from playing You'll Never Walk Alone during training, no matter what the result was after. It comes from playing the other kinds of music. It comes from the writing on the wall, the dog, all these different elements which cumulatively over time build up to build a culture. You do not build a culture binary. You do not build a culture. If the culture's on now, guys, all right, so everyone's in the culture. And it takes time to buy in. It takes time to understand it. It takes time for it to sink in. It's like learning piano. And I've spoken about this with Arteta and also some of the best coaches before. Sometimes when I'm learning piano, I'll misplace a finger. But the next time I go back, I know exactly where that note is. And that inherently is part of the same, I think, in football, and the way that players learn tactics under Arteta can lead to some very frustrating games, but it can also lead to games like this. And boy, if football is a humbling thing, you should try learning piano. I appreciate your guys' opinions in the comments below. Let me know where you think this Arsenal team is at, how you're feeling about them, and how you're feeling about your title and Champions League prospects.
For me, that was... I'm interested in exploring these kinds of subjects, I guess. And I'm also interested in how framing Arsenal as the humble team may inherently frame them as the more worthy side for the Premier League. I'm about to warn you of that in my Liverpool ideas today on the Liverpool channel. Let me know what you guys think about that in itself, where you think Liverpool are at, why inherently they might be humble. I think there are inherently humble elements to every club, and I'm sure every team could tell us why they're humble. Still interested to know. I still think Brentford might be the most humble team in the league. Humble stadium, humble manager, humble kit, humble players, humble geography. But I'd be interested to know, put it this way, there's very few other Premier League teams who are humble. But I'd be interested to know what you guys think. Let me know in the podcast if you think this is worth a 5-star rating. I'd love for more people to rate it. Thanks a lot for listening. And yeah, enjoy this monologue on Liverpool. Sometimes I'm almost humble enough to realize that I need someone to speak about it with. Anyway, I'll chat to you guys in a little while. Enjoy.
Broadly, this weekend in football, we've seen the topic of being humble explored on some levels. Obviously, the use of Kendrick Lamar's song, Sit Down, Be Humble, due to Mars Lewis Skelly's celebration, imitating Haaland's humble celebration after he told Arteta to be humble, who himself has told other people or given certain messages to certain people, or certainly shown his own humble nature, after coming away from Pep Guardiola, who himself was humble, who went up against a manager, Jurgen Klopp, who himself showed some elements of being humble, but some people said showed some elements of being arrogant, but then after he's left the league, some of the people are speaking about the things that he spoke about, and yet they are not labelled as arrogant. There is a lot of misplaced humbleness in the Premier League, but there's also a lot of competition to be humble. And to an extent, there is a competition at the moment as to who is the most humble club. And so I wanted to talk about where we sit in this. Some people might say you're inserting yourself into a rivalry between Man City and Arsenal, but Liverpool play an important role in that rivalry, considering that we have been the arch rivals of Man City for quite a few years, as have Arsenal been some of our arch rivals for quite some years now. And it's interesting to look at the dynamic and how humility, or humbleness, as I called it a second ago, is important in winning a title, and why absolute dominance, absolute perfection, is actually a very boring way of winning a Premier League title. And, you know, some people may even say that in itself, making that claim is arrogant. But there is a need, I think, within the Premier League, and there has been a need for some time now, for a bit of a rejig, for a bit of a shift, for a bit of a change in who is at the top of the league and who is competing for that title. And Liverpool have certainly been interesting, or the most box office blockbuster side, in terms of, wow, I really want to watch that team in recent years. Part of the reason that people are interested in this era of Liverpool and why it changed from the Brendan Rodgers era to the Jurgen Klopp era into the Arne Slot era, and there have been different forms of humble throughout that, is because of the story. I've said this throughout our Liverpool journey with Jurgen Klopp, but before that as well. You can't deny that Liverpool are box office. Whether they win, lose or draw, the game is interesting. The game is something that people want to look in on. And constant, and maybe that is by in itself not a very humble claim to make. There is not much humility in saying that you're worth looking at. But it's a, for me, it seems like something which is relatively subjective in order to make an objective claim. And that is the Premier League, right? But surely humility is about the subjective. It is all in the opinion. Some people think that what Arsenal did, the celebration that they did, in itself was to humble the opposition. But it has clearly got some sort of sting in the tail, shall we say, from everything that the unhumble Haaland said to Arteta, and his own dynamics is why he felt that he was able to say that to a much more experienced coach, to someone who had so much experience in the game that maybe he didn't have. Maybe that is youthful exuberance. Maybe that is the lack of humility that some young people can sometimes have. Or maybe that is the demeanour that a striker needs in order to believe in himself in the Premier League in different moments. And maybe people change throughout their lives. I myself have been humbled by football. I myself have been humbled by the football space. And I'd imagine that you have as well. Be that through posting on social media, be that through claiming a player is amazing or terrible, or saying that a team are going to win, or whatever it is. Football, by its very nature, by the variance in the game, will humble you at some point. At some point, you will get your comeuppance if you play a game enough. And especially if you play a game properly, you will be humbled. Part of playing life properly is that you are humble. And again, it comes back to the claim, I'm more interested in my own journey with Liverpool than I am in Man City's journey. There was a social media clip not long ago. You'll forgive me, I don't actually remember the gentleman's name. But he was on Lab Bible, I think, and he was talking about, in recent years, Man City have been to Wembley so many times that his son is bored of going, that he is almost bored of winning trophies in itself. Now, in itself, that isn't an arrogant thing to say. It didn't feel like an arrogant thing that he was saying, but it didn't feel humble either. It felt kind of boring. It felt a little bit like, my God, like the actual success of what is going on around your club, something you have lacked for such a long time, has now come in such a concentrated form that you don't even enjoy this. I don't want that as a Liverpool fan. It's why I was against some billionaire owners coming in of some sort of state. It's why I'm often maybe more interested in the story that goes around Liverpool. It's why I'm really interested in this current team. It's why I'm interested in what Arne Slot has to offer this Liverpool side. It's why I'm interested in Michael Edwards. It's why I was interested in Jurgen Klopp. It's why I think this year, few years of battling so hard, trying so much for the title, falling short multiple times. And I don't mean that in a judgmental sense. I just mean they didn't win the title or they didn't win the Champions League or whatever it is, has meant that this team is inherently humble. It's not that they don't have a swagger. It's not that they can't play with a little bit of flair in their game. That is not... There are plenty of players who are humble in the game who also have flair, if that makes sense. Maradona in himself had an arrogance or a kind of a steely joie de vivre for the game, which wasn't about being arrogant. All right, it wasn't about also being humble. But, you know, with it being El Pibe, all these little elements which go into your story, not all of them are going to be humble. Some of them will be hero-making moments. But what we want in our heroes, what we want in the people that we look up to, is not necessarily the humility, but the reality and the understanding and the knowing that they bring with their position of power, which inherently feels humble. All of the Liverpool team have got elements where there has been humbling stories in recent years. The tragedy of what has happened to Alisson. I don't want to use that. I don't want to use someone else's own awful life experiences as part of my own idea or story. But what I will say is, I think what Alisson has been through in recent years and his way of dealing with it, his religion, his own approach, his own heroic actions in a time which was clearly really tumultuous from him, shows an element of humility. Trent Alexander-Arnold comes from humble beginnings, you know, without wanting to sound too middle class, comes from humble beginnings and has been taken on a journey by a manager who taught him how to have confidence in his own game. Even if inherently he was already a confident person, having those people around you. I remember when I interviewed him for my Jordan Henderson documentary. God, don't go on about it, mate. You did a documentary once. Shut up. That's humble. He spoke about how when he was coming into the team, people like Henderson gave him that opportunity to have a voice. They gave him, because Henderson believed in him, he felt that the rest of the senior players could believe in him. And the humility that came with that, the confidence that came from someone else is inherently humble. Konate, an inherently humble player, someone who comes from humble backgrounds in France. Van Dijk has been humbled in his own ways. Some people would say the aura means that he's not humble, but I think there are plenty of things that come with a confidence and a self-assuredness which cannot be mistaken for arrogance and actually show the humble element of your game. The injuries that he had in recent years, the hard work he's had to put in to recover from some of those injuries, those are inherently humble. Andy Robertson inherently comes from a humble background. Alexis McAllister, equally, part of his humble gameplay is that he is so empathetic and sympathetic to the other players on the field. He reads the game really well, makes them better players. That in itself is a humble element to have. Ryan Gravenberch is humbling after leaving Ajax, going to a big institution, hoping for better and not getting it, coming to Liverpool, working his way back up. Dominic Szoboszlai, some people say that kid is arrogant, but there are elements of his game where the effort, the inherent drive and the need to serve the rest of the team, the runs that you make, all those kind of self less elements of his game are incredibly important. Luis Diaz and his father, Luis Diaz and his background, Luis Diaz and his self-sacrificing number nine play or false nine play for us is huge. Cody Akpo seems like his religion is a huge part of his humble personality. These are all things that have been incredibly well researched by Liverpool as an institution, but also on an individual level of Jurgen Klopp, which go into making a side humble. I'm sure every other team could go out there and of course Mo Salah, but you know, Mo Salah's inherently, I think, as a striker or someone who plays in that position, you need to have an element of self-belief. But it's not about being humble and self-belief aren't mutually exclusive. Those two things can often be brought together. And the sting in the tail that Arsenal had over the weekend is that mean, I'm going to show you what I really am, which isn't about being, it's not about being humble yourself. It's about just remembering your overall dynamic as a personality. People throughout your life will try to humble you. Believe me, I've been humbled by people that I do not want to be humbled by, because I do not believe those people themselves were humble, or those people themselves could use me as that sacrificial lamb for their own gains, for their own views, for their own self image. That's not me, right? Where do I go from there is kind of my question. Anyway, sometimes I want to put these things out online because I've found my name on forums recently where people have been mean. And sometimes it just wears on you. Talk about finish on the humble. City inherently with this project, there was something humble about the club before. And to an extent, the story that they've told, the way that they've chosen to tell it has not always, should we say, extolled the virtues of being humble within the game. There are inherently humble elements to where Pep Guardiola comes from because of his adversity as a Basque native. They were always the same in Johan Cruyff's game, in the Cruyffian idea of football, the self-sacrifice, the understanding, the need to be a student of the game. All of those things are really important, right? But inherently, football is a humbling game. So while we're busy making a competition about who can be the most humble, which team, I think, and by the way, off the back of this, because Arsenal have inherently knocked another team down, brought another team to their knees, there will be this worthiness now. And this storyline that Arsenal are now the most worthy side within the league, Liverpool themselves, therefore not as worthy as Arsenal, there is this wave of confidence and everything else that comes with that. That's really important, right? Be ready for that. Be ready for some of those storylines. That's why they celebrated so much. There was a great release of this energy, which had been pent up over time. I think that's really important. Like these things, these narratives play into really big overarching ideas, which feed into your energy and the crowd and the relationship with the crowd, the relationship with the club, the relationship between all of these different elements. Part of that is the humility to understand that in its fullest. At our core, a lot of Liverpool fans still remember Shankly, his idea of being humble. He didn't want to discuss the difference in religions at the club. He wanted to be men of the people. He wanted you to remember what it felt like to wear the badge, which is why some people feel inherently upset about what is going on with the way that the Trent story is playing out, even if in reality, Trent in himself is a humble person who has his own humble ideas of where he wants to go. Other people feel this maybe opposite of humble, the idea that there is an institution there that is bigger than him, all those kind of things. Being humble very often will appeal to your ego because it's a great way to appear to other people, which is why it goes all the way back, this competition, to being the most humble and therefore the most worthy for the league title. I'm sure there are great Arsenal fans who could go through the entire team and tell me the hardship that each of those players have been through, why they are the most worthy, why their stories are the one which trump whatever it is. But that's kind of not my point here. My point here was more to just explore the idea of humility and how it plays into the game now. Inherently, I think Klopp tried to instill humility within his players, and he tried to recruit players who had an empathetic, humble element to their game. It's why Henderson was inherently a good captain at Liverpool at the time because of his humility. He wasn't the best player on the team. Technically, he was fantastic. Leadership-wise, he was fantastic, but he wasn't the best player on the team. He embodied a lot of those elements. Like James Milner said, we want no one. Do you know what I'm saying? So all of our history, the recent years, the struggle, the falling short, all those things are feeding into this moment, and they make it multiply. They make it feel different, inherently satisfying. But remember, there's a process to be served here. And what I'm saying, this might be the, we're probably at the middle of the process because of Klopp's rebuild. He spoke, you know, there was that quote I saw the other day online of, you know, when I said Liverpool 2.0, I didn't mean I'd always be here for it, or I didn't mean always with me. I loved that quote because it showed, again, the humility of the man. But what I loved about that was, first of all, it showed there was a bigger vision than just being at the club, should we say, and always being there. But what he was showing was there was a bigger vision than just him, and that he would fit into an institution that he was trying to build. And I really just want to make sure that, to an extent, like, we're not losing sight, or I'm not losing sight, I'm just talking about my perspective, but as a collective, maybe I like having my experience, so I want to share it with you, that I keep my eyes on that, and why that feels important, and why that feels central to why I love this side, or why I really am invested in this team. Let me know what you're invested in this side. Let me know what it is that you can't quite put your finger on, or what you're trying to explore as an idea at the moment. And maybe I'll pick some of those out in the comments and go through them. Appreciate you guys watching the channel, and I'll chat to you in a little while. Much love. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Class is now in session. And the UPS Store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.